If I go in and look at the participant list, once I close that out, the only two tabs I see are leave meeting and cancel. And I can never ever go back into participants or chat or anything on my computer. I can mute and unmute, but I can't do anything else.
Have you tried hitting escape?
No time like the present.
I escape a few times and get back in there too.
One thing you could try, in addition to what David said, is that try alt tabbing away and tabbing back to the window. And you want the window that says Zoom meeting, not just the one
Right.
that, not the one that says
That
Zoom.
I tried, but the escape may actually work. And then it shows me the members again.
And you could even try closing the
Oh, yeah.
participants
And
panel, alt U. Yeah, sometimes that helps as well.
okay.
On my Windows 10 computer, when I hit the Windows key to bring up the search box and I search for something, I want to limit it so that I don't get any web content. I only want it to search in my computer. And I know it can be done visually, but I haven't figured out a way to do it. So if somebody actually knows how to do it.
Isn't there a place where you can arrow up and it gives you the options if you left or right arrow for web, apps, documents? And if you click on documents, because I lost my document, it would not give me the options when I search for documents. And when I up arrowed and then I left and right arrowed, I was able to get to documents. And then it would give me search. And do you want to find your document? You want to find your search result in documents. And that was there. And I could click on that then. And then it would give you everything that was in any matches with documents.
Yes, I
I
did
bet if you
too.
called Microsoft Accessibility, they could probably do it in 2 seconds.
I opened the search box, I typed in a search term, and I arrowed up and I arrowed right, and I could search web, documents, apps, and then there's more. And when I went there, it would allow me to search photos and a whole bunch of other things. Nowhere could I find a, there's supposed to be a checkbox that you can uncheck saying you don't want to ever see web content. But this is fine. This works great. Bob, you're a genius. that actually works. So I opened the search box, I typed in a search term, and I arrowed up and I arrowed right, and I could search web, documents, apps, and then there's more. And when I went there, it would allow me to search photos and a whole bunch of other things. Nowhere could I find a, there's supposed to be a checkbox that you can uncheck saying you don't want to ever see web content. But this is fine. This works great.
Is there a key command that can identify whether it's a capital letter or not? But I just thought there was some way, because you could ask it to say what letter it is, and then it'll say alpha if it's an A. And you'll even, if you hit it 3 times on the numpad key at 5, it'll give you like a number. I think it's some kind of code for what the number is. But I've not figured out any way that will say that's the capital, so I can be absolutely sure.
Hitting the 5 key 3 times gives you the ASCII character number.
Right.
The lowercase ones are in a certain number range, and I have to actually look myself like.
Your letter A starts at number 65, and your lowercase a starts at 97.
Oh, that's perfect. That would work. Anything from 65 to what, Steve, did you say? Where does A start lower?
65
to
to
26. Yeah, I add
95?
26 to that. Yeah.
Yeah,
Oh,
six,
that's just
six.
it.
Yeah, 65 to
Well, the 91.
90,
91.
91, something
Yeah.
like that, will be A through Z. And so if it's below 91 or below 92, then it's an uppercase letter.
There's another solution, I think. I just tested it quickly, and that's to use change the just briefly change the I think it's the speech scheme or the speech and voice scheme by doing insert alt S. And picking proofreading. And then I just tested it. Then when I go character by character, it says cap T or cap whatever instead of
Oh,
just the
wow.
pitch.
When I'm on Zoom and I'm in a presentation where someone is sharing their screen and say it's slides, and what I've been doing to get the slide content is I go through the layer commands with the insert O. For the OCR, and then I do S for screen to capture the screen. And I can't say that it's 99%, but it it gets a good deal of it. But now if I want to copy that, I haven't figured out a way to copy that into, say, Notepad, so I could use it to take notes.
Oh, you have to virtualize the window, I think, after you do that. Well, actually, if you did it in, if you did the OCR, is it already in the virtual buffer?
I don't know where it puts it, so that's...
If it's already in the virtual buffer, you should be able to just do, you know, select all, control A, select control C to copy.
I did try that, and it didn't work.
With 2021, you know, now when you, you know, OCR, at least, you know, a PDF that isn't otherwise inaccessible, if you tab once, then you can put it in Word. My guess is tabbing once would not work for that, but you might try it and see if you could, it could magically go into Word. I sort of doubt it, but.
Under that OCR, you can hit a question mark after you do that, and it will tell you the different types of OCR that you can do. And there's other ones other than screen. I just don't happen to remember them off the top of my head.
I think like S is screen, W is for the window, C is for control.
See, I knew somebody though.
Yeah, I think D is is an open document. F is for a file in a in, you know, Windows Explorer. There's a bunch of them. Yeah.
You know, the other thing you might do, Margaret, is you might shoot off a note to support, you know, at Freedom Scientific and say, "Hey, this is my situation. Is there any way to actually capture this screen?"
So in Excel, when I want to put in the date, the current date into Excel, I hit Control and I think semicolon. And it just pops the date right in. It works great. So I was trying to do the analogous thing in Word. And I was using Alt-Shift-D for date. And it would put the current date in. And to my great dismay, in the diary I keep for actually for Bybug of all transactions, I keep a, sort of a running diary of everything. I had done that. And when I went back and I looked at different dates, they were all the current date. Changed the document to the current date, and I had to go back and figure out which was the actual dates for all of them. Document that doesn't change.
No, this is actually has nothing to do with putting in a date. It has to do with automatic updates to the document. And I forget where that setting is. I want to say it's in the proofing area, and there's a box you could say, and it says like automatically update dates. Yeah.
You think you could toggle that off, and then when you use that command, it would leave the date, and then the next day when you went back to the document, it would still leave that the previous day's date.
Yeah. I mean, if you Google just like automatically update dates in Word, whatever version of Word you're using, I'm sure it'll tell you exactly where in the ribbons you can find that. But I've seen a setting in there.
I'm working with a group that uses Dropbox, and they keep adding to some Dropbox folders in my computer right now. I can either download it or save it to my Dropbox. And I have not been downloading it because if I download it, it comes up as a zip file and then I have to unzip it and it's crazy time. So I've been saving it to my Dropbox. So now I have literally 9 different versions of the Dropbox folder, and some are repeat files, some are additions to the original files in the folders. And I would like to delete some of these, but every time I go to delete them, it says delete everywhere. And what I don't know is if I delete it out of my Dropbox folder, is it going to delete it out of everyone else's Dropbox folder?
But you can say no to that, Jeanette. If you say no to that, it'll just delete it from your computer. So you can delete all the old versions. And when it says delete everywhere, you say no, and it'll just delete it from your computer. So you'll just have the latest version.
What it sounds like is that you and your friend are not actually sharing that folder. The friend is sending you a link each time she does an update.
Going onto the website, opening the Dropbox link on the website, and then it prompts me to download the files that are appropriate from there, and it says download or save to Dropbox.
She's just sharing links with you. You can probably delete anything you want to. There's always a risk, but that's what I would do.
She's sharing it in the sense that she's letting you download a copy of it, but not
right.
It's not a two-way thing at that point. It's not, yeah.
I get something on my computer. It just starts talking all of a sudden, and it says something about module optical resolution, something, something. I just shut it up when I do the shut up key, but I don't know what that is. And that just, I think you're supposed to press something or choose a kind of optical something. I don't know what they're talking about.
When do you see it? I mean, is this something that happens when computer first boots up, or is this something that's randomly pops
No,
up?
I can be out of the room. I mean, in a different room, and it'll, and my computer can be, the screen can be locked. And I mean, the computer can be locked and it'll, I'll hear it, you know, like the same kind of fashion that I sometimes hear emails coming in when I'm not around.
Yeah,
when
it's
I'm not.
A Windows notification, but optical resolution.
Yeah. Yeah. It says something about notification. That's another word that it says.
That's a screen resolution. I tell you what that could be is a lot of times if your display settings in your video card don't match the native resolution and monitor, sometimes the video driver actually identifies that and then puts up. I know that you don't have any usable eyesight, so I'm pretty sure you don't care what the resolution of your screen
is.
No,
I don't care.
Okay, so here's what I would do in a case like this. If you go into, or after that you get a notification, do Windows A. That brings you into the Windows Notification Center. And then you could tab around, and there's a little link that says Manage Notifications. And once you enter that, you could tab through it, and you could turn off any notification you don't want to hear again. My advice is just, in that case, just turn that one off so you'll never have to hear it again. Huh?
My cell phone, all of a sudden, it'll say something about voice. Oh, no, I can't remember. Voice control something, and it'll when I'm doing something on it, all of a sudden it'll say, try this and try that. Try saying such and such, and try saying such and such, and I'm not even doing anything.
So what is this voice control? If you have it turned on, you could actually control the whole phone with your voice. I know David did a demonstration this one time at Vibug, and it's always listening. And that's why it kind of kills you.
Yeah, it's about listening. Yeah.
Yeah. So if it hears a background noise that it doesn't interpret, it'll just give you hints like, try this, try that type of thing. So. You go into settings under accessibility, voice control. It's just a toggle. You can turn it off.
I am working with a young lady who is a master's degree student at MIT. Basically, she's trying to design an interface to teach blind people how to use what they call their makerspace. It's a lab with 3D printers and laser cutters and all kinds of fancy computer-controlled machinery. So she's looking for ideas about projects that blind people might like to make if they had the ability to make them. And I come up with a few suggestions, but I'd like to hear some suggestions from people on this line as to what I might present to her as some kind of possible projects that a blind person might be interested in making.
What I'd like to see as an answer is that how could she make all that equipment that she uses accessible? I mean, I know about people use like stuff like you mentioned about the laser cutters and CNC machining and AutoCAD and all the stuff like that. I'd like to be able to, you know, if anything, the tools that we can, those tools, that type of thing, see if that stuff could be made accessible somehow. Is I would tell her, walk into her lab, close her eyes, walk towards any device and say, how would she use this if she couldn't see?
I would like it if they could make a Xerox, like a photocopier machine, usable for blind people.
So I think redesigning or like being able to 3D print canes or 3D print, I don't know, some of the other tools or things that blind people might use on a day-to-day basis that cut down on the cost and to make it more easy to produce.
How about Braille? Of signs for the street signs, using them, the 3D printers to be able to put on a sign pole so that a person could walk up to it.
Cool.
And that sign pole could be durable so that it could live outside all year round.
If there's any way to do 3D tactile printings of works of art.
If Struni could have one thing that she could create right now, I'd like to see a three-dimensional version of what this COVID virus looks like.
There are so many items now that have display screens, and it would be wonderful if somebody would figure out a way to standardize the output of display units so that we could attach a speech device to them or some other kind of device and be able to read them. But let's take something like house appliances. You've got 8 or 10 different brands of washing machine, 8 or different brands of clothes dryers. Most of them have touchscreens. Most of them have displays. Make that a standard so that any unit that you have, you can hook up a box to that unit and it'll just read what's on that display. And if they did that, that would make our lives so much easier in so many ways. And you could still have the diversity. You could still have the different models, yes, but they'd all use the same standard.
We're officially adjourned, I think.